Our Lord, we come before you submissive. Lord, we ask that your Spirit take over and guide us into truth. Our Lord, we pray that your word would give us deep and rich satisfaction and joy as we study it today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, after a good game of football last night, many of the Tiger fans will be walking out of the stadium saying, "I bleed what? Purple and gold." And that means that everything inside of you, even to the core of your being, your blood, the very thing that gives you life, loves the Tigers. And I know not everyone in the room feels that way, and that's okay. But I want to talk about blood a little bit this morning, because blood is something that the Bible uses as a theme throughout. And I am on an exclusion list this morning because my blood is tainted. I want to tell you, not because it's purple and gold, but because I've been out of the country into a country that my blood is tainted. And many of you in this room are in the same way. If you went on the trip to Haiti with this in the last 2 years, I think it is, maybe last 1 year. The life in me, I cannot give away. And when the blood bank calls, there's nothing I can do. I have no life to give to them. And I know even in this room, we have men and ladies who have received blood transfusion even in the last month. And without that blood transfusion, what would happen to you? No life. No life. Without blood, we cannot live. And without blood, without life, we cannot give our blood away. This morning, I want to present to you that the gospel writers, those who wrote the New Testament apostles, those who wrote the New Testament to us, at the cost of their blood, they gave us something that would give us life. In the same way that blood gives you life. But they did not expect us not to donate that blood to anyone else. That life to anyone else. So this morning, as you read, as we read together, primarily in the Gospel of John this morning, I'd like for you to consider this morning, from the perspective of one who's writing, one author who's writing, in order to give something that will give life. From the perspective of someone who says, "I've got something, I know this information, and I've got to get it to other people." And I want you to read it like you would depend on a blood transfusion this morning. Because these words give us life. The Spirit of God awakens us to who God is, spiritual life, because of the word that we're given. So if you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to open up to John chapter 20, verse 31. And if you are in VBS this year, you probably know this verse and can sing it. "These are written for, so you may believe that what? Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ." While you're turning there, let me give you a few other things. The gospel writers had a mission. They had a desire to communicate to a people who Jesus is. And they wrote and used the very words that they had to communicate. John even tells us at the end of his gospel, there are so many things that Jesus did that if they were all written, they could not even be contained in all the books in all the world. John, Matthew, Luke, Mark, these men took very seriously their task at hand. And that was to communicate what they could so that the message of the cross did not stop with them. They wrote their words so that you might believe. Do you see it there? Do you see it here in 2031? But these are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, the one coming to redeem. The focal character in the story of redemption. And so we've arrived. We've made it here. We have talked about him for 40 weeks now. And now here is in the most clear way, the true bread from heaven. And my challenge for us as a body of believers this morning is, do we want this message to be shared? Do we want to keep the blood in our own veins, or are we willing to go sit on the table and squeeze that little ball and watch life being poured out of us and into someone else? Do we care enough to give our lives the message of the cross? Because the New Testament apostles did. And as history tells us, they all gave their lives for it. So I gotta have two things for you this morning I want you to think about as we're studying this morning. One, read the Gospels. Read the New Testament. Read the Old Testament. Read the Bible. But read them as if you need them to know your God and have life. They're not a supplement. They're essential for us. The Word of God is not just like the icing that's on top of the cake. The Word of God is what makes cake, cake. Read them as if you need them to have life, and then read them as if you need them to save others' lives. Sometimes the problems that we run into as a Christian is we feel like it's all good because now I know the message, I know that I'm saved, and it's all good now. I'll go ahead and just continue living my life. But I want to tell you that that's not the way that the New Testament apostles treated it. That's not the way that the reformers treated it when they were smuggling Bibles at the cost of their lives and their blood. This is the Word of God, and it's meant to be so that others may believe. Not only the readers, but those that won't read it, that we can communicate it. So, turn back now with me to the beginning of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. And oh, we could preach through John. We could talk through John for hours and hours. And that would be such fun, but I don't have hours and hours this morning. So I'm going to give you ways, highlights, if you will, at least to marking posts to direct us through the book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Most of you can quote this. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Many people will miss this simple truth, but this is right where John started. And this is essential to the Christian doctrine. It is this: Jesus is divine. John just starts there. Jesus is the Word, and He is God. And you will find sects of people who say, yeah, we're just like you, who don't believe that Jesus was God. We believe the same things you believe. But if you say Jesus is God, they shudder. But believe me, I've literally seen that. Oh, no, you're misunderstanding. Well, maybe you're misunderstanding, because the message that John is bringing is that Jesus is divine. And if you read through the book of Gospel of John, you can't deny it. I and the Father are one. What do you do with that? When people are proclaiming, my Lord and my God, and Jesus just stands there and says, you figured it out now. If you read the book of John, you can't deny it. You can try to modify it, but you can't deny it. And even a non-believer will tell you, yeah, I'm reading this, and Jesus was trying to tell everybody he was God. If they're honest. Jesus is divine. And that is where Christianity starts. It starts and hinges upon Wayne what? Jesus. You cannot be a Christian if you do not emphasize Jesus. It's all about Jesus. That's what Christianity is. And I'm thankful that some of you come to me and say, look, we need to preach Jesus. Because that's what it's about. It centers around, and everything that we've talked about this year is about the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. But Jesus is the true bread. And we must remember it's the Jesus that the Bible communicates, not other versions named or called Jesus, but the Jesus. Does that make sense to us? It's easy to fashion. Remember back at the golden calf, they fashioned and they said, this is your God. No, it's not. And Aaron told him, this is your God who brought you out of Egypt. No, Aaron, it's not. So church, as we come before the Word of God humbly, may we say, there is but one Jesus. And he's the one that John is trying to communicate to us. May it never be that we meddle and manipulate Jesus. Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. Amen. I'll amen your amen, whoever you are. Go forward to verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Not only is Jesus divine, Jesus is what? Light. He illuminates the truth. Not only is Jesus God, but Jesus allows us to see God because he's the light. Do you understand what he's saying when Jesus says, he's the light? I'm the light of the world. I'm the one allows you to see who God is. Do we see that? Do you understand that? Jesus is light because without light, you don't see and you don't know what's there unless you have radar like a bat. And I don't think any of you do. I don't think. Jesus is light. So he enlightens people to the truth. This is what he does. Verse 10. He was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, y'all tell me what happens. Somebody knows. But to those who do receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born, and y'all love this, who were born, what? Not of blood, not of the will of man, or the will of flesh, but he was born of God. And the Word came. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is only of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So I ask you, based on this passage, why did Jesus come? He came with a purpose. We already talked about it a little bit. What did he say? What does John say? The true what? The true light. Not only is he true bread, he's true light. Meaning, there are false lights. correct? You ever shined a different color light? Or been in a room where there's been a different color light and it changes the colors of things? Ever seen that? You can walk into with a black light, they call it, into a room with black light, and the white on your shirt, it looks almost purple, doesn't it? Like this bright colors. Because that's not true light. It's black light. It's a different kind of light. It's not what we understand. It doesn't show us what we understand as the source of light, the true light that gives us. Jesus came with purpose. John 18, verse 37, Pilate is talking to Jesus, and Jesus very clearly tells Pilate, I love this. Then Pilate said, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say that I'm a king for this purpose. Here we go. Jesus being very clear. Why did Jesus come? Look right here. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I've come into the world. Tell me, church, why? To be the light. I want you to see what's true. Right? Jesus comes to show us the truth. And of course, Pilate has fun with this. Oh, what is truth? Jesus came to reveal to us the truth. And the truth is, he's divine. And the truth is, he saves. This is not his only purpose, to show us the truth, but to validate that he is the truth. But those around him recognized it. We see John the Baptist saying, behold the Lamb of God who does what? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John recognized that. The truth is that Jesus is divine and then he takes away the sin of the world. John chapter 12 says something very similar. I have come into the world as what? As light. John 12, 46. So that whoever believes in me may not remain in the darkness, the abyss, Sunday school class. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. Watch this. For I did not come to judge the world, but what? There it is. Why did Jesus come? Save. And how does he save? By you seeing. By our family members seeing Jesus and recognizing that Jesus is true. And what he said was, deny yourself, take up the cross, follow me. You want to be my disciple? Come on. But you got to recognize who I am. Well, Jesus is not... Unless Miss Betty's hiding him over there, he's not in this room. So how do we follow what we can't see? I thought Jesus was light and we're supposed to be able to see. How do we follow him? Y'all have good questions. I'm so glad that you asked. Maybe I can help you out. John chapter 3, Jesus does a little work for us. Check it out. John chapter 3, beginning verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's our seeing again. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see what the true light, who's divine, is trying to show you. And Jesus is showing them the kingdom of God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to them, how can a man be born again when he's old? How can he enter, or can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Come on, Jesus. And then Jesus answers, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, that's your mama, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So Jesus is saying, you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born physically and what, church? Spiritually. So no, Miss Betty's not hiding Jesus over there. How do we follow him? Follow him spiritually, with our lives, with our spirit. We are born spiritually, and we recognize that I've seen Jesus spiritually. Anybody seen Jesus? You see him not with these peepers, but with your spirit. Because you know that Jesus Christ came and died and rose and worked miracles and fulfilled all of the scripture. And you know that. And you are convinced, and you don't know why you're convinced, you just are. You can't deny it. Jesus saves, and you know it. You're spiritually born again. You can't deny it. You may not want it, but you know it's true, and you can't stop yourself from following Jesus. You know you're born again. Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If you're spiritually born again, you know it. It's a spiritual thing. You can't deny it. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. You don't have to see everything to believe and know it's real, right? You don't see Jesus with your peepers, but you see him. So it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit. Jesus came to bring us a spiritual salvation. Well, we see that Jesus established his spiritual kingdom, and that Christians are coming in and being awakened to this kingdom. He talked to Pilate about it. Talked to Nicodemus about it. He told the whole people that would listen to him about the kingdom of God. But kingdoms come and go, right? We studied Daniel recently. We looked at the Medes and the Persians. And we looked at the Greeks, the Romans, the Babylonians, the Assyrians. Kingdom rise, kingdom fall. Sunrise, sunset. As the fiddler on the roof would tell us, days come, days go. Kingdoms come, kingdoms go. Elections come, elections go. So Jesus brings us and says, hey, and John's communicating to all of his readers, hey, this is not something that's just easy come, easy go. This is something bigger. Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus is speaking with a Samaritan woman, a non-Jew, and says, hey, you see this well we're sitting at? Everyone who drinks this water will be what? Help me out. Will be what? You're going to be thirsty again. Even your camel who drinks gallons of water at a time, you're going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty. Is Jesus talking about H2O? Is he talking about the flesh, something physical? You can shake your head with me if you like. No. Jesus is talking about spiritual things. Whoever drinks this water, Jesus said, verse 14, I will give him, will what? Never be thirsty again. I'm giving you something. I'm giving you spiritual life that doesn't fade away. So, hey, we're reading the Bible here and we see, oh, Jesus is divine. He gives spiritual life. And it's something that doesn't fade away. You know, there are a lot of false securities that are advertised to you in magazines and websites and ads and television commercials. And here you go. This will make your life better. But none of them None of them say forever. You buy it, you look on the box, or you open a package, like, oh, 1 year guarantee. Okay. Lifetime guarantee. There you go. Lifetime guarantee. Guess what happens when you die? No more guarantee. What did Jesus say? I got the forever guarantee. It's eternal. And this is something that so many people who don't recognize that eternity matters will miss. And Jesus and John and the gospel writers are coming to say, we've got something better. We've got something better than Scientology. We've got something better than Buddhism. We've got something better than fame and fortune and comfort and catching big fish and football games. Look, y'all, man, LSU won a great game. They're going to lose a great game. There's nothing forever about that. There's going to be a time they're not going to be in LSU. Forever matters. And Jesus is saying, you want to be thirsty? Then go drink out of this well. You want to be forever satisfied? You come to me. I got something for you. Move forward to the next chapter, John chapter 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. I'm stopping there for you to realize that's a really strange thing for Jesus to say. All right, all you dead people, listen up. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. How do dead people live? Verse 27, and he has given him authority to execute judgment because he's the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of what? Judgment. You see it there? How do dead people hear? Because when Jesus talks, everybody gonna listen. Got it? And Jesus says, there'll be a day. There'll be a day. You're going here, and you're going to life, or you're going to judgment. Amen, Granny. Life or judgment. Now let me draw you back to these truths that are so precious to us that we say, amen, amen. Y'all, we've got to get this message that's precious to us. We've got to go to the blood bank. We've got to start giving this away. We've got to say, it's not just for me. John did not just write this for me. He wrote it that they might believe. And they might have life. And then in that day when Jesus starts talking and dead people start hearing, there's no judgment. Because they've heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know it's not easy. You can go tell John it's not easy. And let him look at you and go, yeah, I know. The call of Jesus Christ is not an easy call. And the gospels are telling us, the gospels are communicating to us. I didn't call to make you comfortable. And there is a gospel out there that says, hey, Jesus came to make you comfortable and give you everything you want. That's not what Jesus taught. He said, I've come to show you the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom, there's work and it's toil and it's hard, but it's true. And you can choose the kingdom of God or you can choose the kingdom of this world. It's the same temptation that Satan did to Jesus in Matthew chapter 3. You see it. Or Matthew 4, rather. You see it. It's the same thing. Hey, Jesus, you want the kingdom of this world? You can have it. There it is. It's pretty. It's pretty. And Jesus won that temptation for you. Because here's the problem. We all want the kingdom of this world. And we can deny it. You can, no. But in your heart, deep down, you know you want the kingdom of this world. And that's what sin does to us. It makes us want the kingdom of this world. And Jesus won the battle. He defeated Satan. He defeated that temptation. And he said, kingdom of God or bust. So let's wrap this in together. Oh, there's so much more. But let me wrap this in for you. The message John is giving us is Jesus came to win the battle for you. Okay? Jesus won the victory. All authority, every victory is yours. He did overcome. Go read John's last book, Revelation. He overcame. He's victorious. He's the Lamb who was slain. Jesus rules. He came to do it because you cannot. You world lover. Me, I'm a world lover. And that's the problem. But he's offered that invitation to say, hey, world lover, I've got another kingdom. Not of this world. I've got the kingdom of heaven. And if you want it, come. But you're going to have to deny yourself this world. So that's what we do. Okay, Jesus, I want you bad enough to deny myself this world, to take up my cross and to follow you. Now see that? That's Christianity. Lots of people say, I love Jesus. Oh, that Jesus? No, that's not my Jesus. Oh yeah, I love Jesus, but man, I really like this substance or this habit or this person. I really love that. So yeah, Jesus, I love you, but I'm not ready to get rid of that. And Jesus said, okay, then have it. But he's told us, resurrection, I'm coming, I'm speaking. Life or judgment. So that's the... Battle. Say what?
The second battle.
Yeah. So this is the call. This is the call, y'all. This is it. This is Jesus. Have the kingdom. Have that kingdom or have this kingdom. If you're not a Christian this morning, I invite you to investigate, to really dig deep down into what Jesus has said, to recognize who you are, a world lover, and recognize that you need redemption, but there's a Savior who came to redeem you from your love of this world. John said later in 1 John, do not love the world or the things of this world. And that's what Jesus has called us to do. If you need to surrender your will, your desire, and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I invite you to come bow your knee at this altar and ask him to receive you, because he will. Everyone who comes to him, he will not cast out. Christian, if you're here this morning, I just want to give you the words of Jesus Christ himself and just ask you to wrestle with them. Wrestle with them. Really wrestle with them. Whoever would be my disciple, whoever would come after me, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Wrestle with that verse. You wrestle with it. Because that work is not just a one-time thing. That is a daily. And in fact, one of the Gospels says it, deny yourself daily. It's a perfect tense. It's continual. Wrestle with that, Christian. God's word is good, y'all.
Amen.
It's so good. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving us the Apostle John, and Matthew, and Luke, and Isaiah. Thank you for all of these you've given us to give us your word and to point us to Jesus. Oh, Lord, redeem us. Make us right by the power of your Spirit. Awaken us to the glories of the cross and the glories of Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.